Okay, we're on Hey Amid Beis. More Agada to Gemara. Rab Ilo Havasolik Bidarga Deve Rabba Barshila. Rab Ilo was going up the stairs in the house of Rabba Barshila. And as he was doing that, Shmaya Liyanuka Dahave Kokori, he was listening to a young child who was reading a pasuk in the prophet Amos that says the following. Kihine yotzer horim ubore ruach umagid lo odo masecho. For behold, this is a description of Hashem. Hashem, he forms mountains and creates winds. That's a big thing. He also tells over a person what were his words. When you leave this world, Hashem's going to tell you what you said. Now, what kind of words could this be? Well, first of all, when he read that pasuk, the kid read it, and he heard the kid saying it. So Amr, so Rav Ila said, "Oi, Evit Sharabit Magid Lo Masicho. If a Rebbe is going to tell you what you speak, your private discussions, Takana Yeshu, is any remedy? You know, Hashem's going to tell you all the things you said behind his back. So what kind of remedy is going to be for that? Now, what kind of discussions could be said in private? My, what do we mean, Masicho? What a person speaks about?" Now the pasuk could have been written umagid l'adam secho. It could have said they tell a person back his words. What's the idea? Ma secho.
Did you take control of this?
No, I don't.
I'm not hearing.
Wait, what happened? It jumped down. I don't know why that did that.
Here, you're back.
No idea why that happened. And it will. So why does it say ma ma? Ma means like even the smallest little idle chatter. So what's the smallest little idle chatter? Amar Rav, Rav explains, Afilu sicha yaseira shvein ish l'ishto. Any extra talk between a man and his wife, magidim lo la'adam b'shas misa, we tell the person after the time that he dies. Okay, now it's interesting, it says, look at the Rambam brings down that Rav, who was a student of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, never spoke anything in vain. Right? Kesef Mishnah says, I don't have a source for this. But it's implicit from our Gemara. Because it says in the name of Rav, Omar Rav, even a person says the smallest conversation took place between a husband and wife, it means during intimacy. Now, remember, it doesn't mean to say you can't talk to your wife. What was the critical word? It says a person who sicha yesera, too much. No, too much. Yesera is too much. What's necessarily you say to your wife. But what's too much, you start schmoozing and just talking about narishkeit that is not relevant. Again, the Torah is not against a man speaking to his wife. That's fine. But if you're speaking to your wife all day long and you don't sit and learn any Torah, then that's too much talking to your wife. That's all. That's what it means. So that's what the Torah will relate is the extraneous conversations that a man had with his wife, even in the most private of times. Now, that would seem to be pretty straightforward. However, Gemara has a problem with this. Aini, but is this so that a man is brought to count even the small talk he has even in intimate times? That is an interesting story, guys. Rav Kahana havi goni tusi puri Rav. Rav Kahana was once lying under the bed of Rav because we have to understand if people are not peeping toms over here. For Gemara says, if you really want to understand Torah, you observe what your Rebbe does. Now, you observe a lot of things. You observe how he eats, that he eats like a malach. He doesn't eat like a slob. He doesn't, fress. You're supposed to observe how he walks. You're supposed to observe how he talks to other people. It's not just what you learn from the Sefer, from the Rebbe. You have to learn his behaviors. Watch how he, people will go far distances to go to a tzaddik and to watch how he davens. Just to watch how he davens, to see this is how a person talks when they're facing Hashem, right? There's a lot of merit to that. Some people take it to extremes. The only way to really know how to have your marital relations according to the Torah's ways is you'd have to somehow be present at the time, okay? So therefore, he laid under the bed. He didn't have a video recording, but he laid under the bed. V'shamay desach. He was listening how Rav spoke to his wife, v'tzachach, and laughed with her, v'asatrachav, and then did his marital obligations. So now, that's what the student heard, and, you know, he's hearing the Rav says, you know, extra speech isn't good, what's going on over here? He's talking a lot over here. Amar, so Rav Kahana said, now this is interesting, he said from underneath the bed, he says, Dome pume de Rav kemandalo tim le tavshila. Rav's mouth is like one who hasn't tasted food. In other words, you're behaving like a man who's starving for food. In other words, your lightheadedness regarding this act of intimacy seems to say you're enjoying it for your own pleasure as if you never did it before. Now, the truth of the matter is, look at the commentary. Rav had a reason for this. He was trying to settle down his wife. She was angry for whatever reason. The wife was upset with him for whatever. Maybe he was learning too much. He says, "Well, you finally came back from the Beis Medrash. You remember you have a wife? I don't know what's going on there. And it's wrong for a man to cohabit with his wife when she's upset with him. So therefore, it has to be in an atmosphere of happiness. So therefore, that's why he had to joke around a little bit to put her in a better mood. So anyway, or for other reasons that are brought out over there. So, but the guy says, listen, you're behaving as if you never had supper before. So it was kind of shocking to hear that from the bed. Last thing you'd expect is a voice from beneath. Amarle, so he says to him, Kahana, Polk, gotta get out of here. Lav oirech are, this is not proper you be here. Right? So, but here's the question. Rav is the one that shouldn't talk so much. We see that Rav was talking a lot to his wife. So that's the story. Gemara says, Lokash, it's not a question. Here he had to appease her, and therefore he had to use extended speech. And normally when he says you're going to be judged for it, the low tzarklitzer, where you don't need to appease her, and then the speak is superfluous. Now there's other Gemaras that mention similar stories, and they have the student's response. He says, Rebbe, Torah hi v'lil modanei tzarech. This is also part of Torah that I need to learn. Okay, so listen, these rabbis were on much higher levels than we are, and we shouldn't impute our non-lofty ways of looking at these ways to them.
He did tell him to get out of there.
Yeah, well, he said, listen, I understand you had good intentions, but this is a place where we draw the line.
No, it's not exactly 100% kosher, this kind of behavior.
Well, listen, what can we say? The student was very alacritous to know everything the way it should be done properly. And he didn't have, he was under the bed. He wasn't looking at anything. He was just listening. He was listening what's going on. And the Rebbe said, okay, I understand, but there's a point where you draw the line. However, in the other Gemara, the students say, listen, we got to learn this. How else we got to know this? You know, they tell stories of Hasidic Rebbes who would, you know, be in their rooms in privacy. And people are always curious to know what was going on, you know, to learn from them. And you'd hear all kinds of interesting stories. People would listen in by the door of the Chavetz Chaim to try to overhear what he was saying.
When he was studying.
No, yeah, I understand, but still there's privacy issues. Even forget about being with your wife, person's alone, he figures he's private, and they would, you know, all kinds of stories where people would, you know, there's always something to learn. For example, I don't remember which Rebbe it was with, the Rebbe would see people for hours, and then he'd tell, okay, now I need a break. And then half an hour, then he would see people again. So one time he wanted a break. So that means, you know, the gabbai everybody goes out, right? Anyway, there's a young student who hid behind a chair or whatever. And he saw, what did the Rebbe do when everyone's gone? He opened up a Mishnayos and was learning.
That's right.
So the Rebbe noticed that the kid was there. He said, okay, you know, one day, I know you're going to be a Rebbe, you know, so that's why I let you see this. And you have to know, the only reason I'm able to give good advice to people is because God gives me help. It's not Hashem's help. What do you mean? I can give him brachas. What do I do? Helps them. Think I'm such a great guy. It comes from Hashem. But you know what? Hashem's help. I have to keep feeding the connection. You think I can just go a whole day without learning? Hear everybody's problems? I need to refuel, as it were, from time to time to learn a little more Torah, because that gives me that stronger connection to Hashem. So I'm able to help people that way. So that's like an example where, you know, kid shouldn't have been there because it was his private time. But sometimes you learn from eavesdropping on them. And of course, you have to be doing it for the right reasons, not just stam, you're curious. You work for the frum paparazzi, you know. That's not what it's about. It's about really learning and the proper behaviors that a person should have. So that's what the student felt was proper. That's the only way you're really going to learn is to hear what the Rebbe does. Rebbe said, get out of here. Okay, so sometimes one can be overzealous in trying to learn from a Rebbe. And it was not, there was no devious and terrible thoughts. But the Rebbe said, not in the future. Okay, let's continue. I don't know. That's right, she had nothing to say. Okay, now, the topic we were speaking about before was dealing with the concealment of Hashem, if you recall. That was yesterday's topic, the concealment of Hashem, that Hashem conceals himself from Jews because he's the only one. Because Jews are the only ones he reveals himself to. So now we're going to another verse that's related to the concealment of Hashem. The pasuk says, "Vim lo sishma'uha," and if you don't heed this, you don't listen to what I'm telling you to do. "B'mistarim tivke nafshi." Hashem is saying, "My spirit will cry in hidden places because of your arrogance." So Hashem is saying, "I'm going to cry in secret." That's what the pasuk says. "Amar Shmuel bar Ina mishmei de Rav." Rav Shmuel, the son of Ina, said the name of Rav. What does that mean? Whatever this means. Malkam sheish haKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a place that Hashem has. And what's that place called? Umistarim shmo. Mistarim. Secret place is what it's called. That's what it's called. And what does he do there? And that's where he cries. That's where he cries. That's what the pasuk said. It should have said, "B'seiser tifka nafshi." My soul weeps in secret. Since it says my soul weeps b'mistarim, not b'seiser, it means it's a place. So Hashem has a special place where he weeps for the Jewish people. My, what does it mean? Mipnei geva, because of your haughtiness. What's that part of the pasuk mean? Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, mipnei gavoshen shel Yisrael, because of the haughtiness of the Jewish people. What happens? Shenitla mehem v'nitla v'nechom. That was taken away from them and given to the idol worshippers. I guess the arrogance, the pride, and all that was taken away from us. Anyway, it has to do with the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, and Hashem cries. You should know Hashem has a private place where he cries, and there were many tzaddikim who would go into the forests and have private places where they would cry. And they told many stories, even in Yerushalayim, there at tzaddikim, there was a special place somewhere in the a little forest or whatever near Yerushalayim, where there was a little area that had a little gate that only people had a special key to go there to cry for the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. Only, I think, were 13 tzaddikim who had keys to that place. And they, just like Hashem cries in private, they would cry in private like Hashem as well. Reb Shmuel bar Nachmani, Omar, Reb Shmuel bar Nachmani says, following up on this, "Mipnei gavoson shel malchus shemayim." Rather, what's the haughtiness? The exaltedness of the kingdom of heaven that was removed. In other words, Hashem weeps due to the loss of his glory, which is diminished when the Jews don't listen to Hashem. When the Jews don't listen to Hashem, he has to destroy the temple, and then that's the representative of Hashem. So Hashem's haughtiness, his proudfulness is gone away. The Gemara asks, "Umi ika b'chia kame HaKadosh Baruch Hu?" Is there such a thing as Hashem crying? We know. Rav Papa says, it's a golden rule. Einat tzivus l'Hashem. There's no grief in the presence of Hashem. Shenemar, how do we know that? It says in Divrei Yomim, Hod v'hador lefanav, glory and majesty are before him, Oz v'chedva b'mkamal, might and delight are in his place. In other words, wherever Hashem is, there's happiness. If a Jew is close to Hashem, a Jew is always happy. Because wherever Hashem is, there's only joy. So what are you talking about? Crying? Lo kash not a kasha. Ha bebate gavoy. The earlier verses are referring to the inner chambers, right? That's where he cries. Ha bebate baroy. But in the outer chambers, that refers to where the happiness of Hashem is. Ay ubebate baroy lo. And is there no weeping even in the outer chambers? Foxy, we have a pasuk that says, "Vayikra Hashem Elokim Hashem Tzvakos Bayom Ahu Livchil Nisvei LeKorach V'Lach Korsok." And Hashem, God of Hosts, called out on that day when the temple was destroyed for weeping and for eulogizing and for baldness, making, you know, ripping your hair off, and for girding in sackcloth, and that's calling out. Calling out is even outwardly. You see, Hashem is crying. Mora has, that's a difference. Shiny Chur Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is an exception to the rule. De'afilo malach eshamach, even the angels of peace cried when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Hein ere lom tzaku chutzot malchei shalom mar yivkayu. Behold, for their altar they cried without, the angels of peace wept bitterly. So you see that for the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, everybody cries. Hashem, the Malachim, everything. Okay. Bringing more psukim now. Continuing the verse that talks about Hashem's weeping. It says, V'domoa tidma, and I shall surely weep. V'teired eini dima, and my eyes will drip with tears. Ki nishpa eder Hashem, for the flock of Hashem has been taken into captivity. What does that mean? Amar Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Lazar says, it says three times, Shalosh Dimo Salalom. Why does it say three times? It says, V'domoa Tidma V'teired Eini Dimo. It says three times tears. Why three times expression? Achas Al Mikdash Rishon, one for the first temple. Achas Al Mikdash Sheni, one for the second temple. V'achas Al Yisrael Shigolum Imkoma, and one for the Jewish people who were exiled from their place. Another interpretation, V'ikad Amri, Achas Al Bitul Ter, one is now for the neglect of the third one is for the neglect of Torah start. So that's the third tier. First two are the same. More now asked, Bish, Le, Milaman, Dom, Ral, Yisrael, Shigol. That makes sense when it says the Jewish people have gone into exile, that Hashem tears for them. That makes sense. Hainu, Dixi, that's what the Pasuk said earlier, Kinish, Beit, Hashem, for the flock of Hashem has been taken into captivity. So that makes sense, that Hashem is crying for them. Elaman, Dom, Ral, Bitul, Torah, when it says he's crying for the loss of Torah, my, why does it say Kinish Ba'eder Hashem, for the flock of Hashem is taken captivity? The answer is one leads to the other. Kivin Shigoli Sholmim Komum, since the Jewish people were exiled from their place, Ein Lucha Bitul Torah Gadol Miseh. There's no greater waste of Torah than that. Because when the Jew is away from his pleasant, tranquil habitation, it's going to cause a tremendous loss of learning Torah. Golus is the greatest source of Bitul Torah. So the two interpretations go hand in hand. And while we're on the topic of crying, let's finish it off. Tana Rabba, the rabbis say, Shlosha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Boich Aleihem Chol Yom. Hashem cries for three types of people every day, even today. Who? Number one. Alef Shalasa Gravein Isaac, someone who's capable of engaging in Torah study and doesn't. A smart person who has a smart head and could be learning Torah, instead, he's not. He's learning other things. Val Shiaf Shalasa Gravein Isaac, and the second one is the guy who really is not good at learning Torah, and he's spending all his time trying to learn Torah. All right? In other words, that the guy's working so hard under difficult circumstances. So, of course, that's something one should do, but we're speaking about a person who really shouldn't be learning Torah. Not everybody is supposed to be engaged all day long in learning Torah if they don't have the head for it. Some people say, I want to be a Talmud Chacham, I want to sit and learn all day long, but you just don't have the smarts for it. And, you know, you could be doing other things for the Jewish people that would be more beneficial. So that's another one that Hashem's worried about. And finally, Valparnas Hamiskalat Tzibur, and the communal leader who acts arrogantly over people, Hashem cries over such a person as well. Rabbi Avinokit Sefer Kinos, Gemara now is going to relate an incident regarding, since we're talking about the Jewish people in a low state because of the temple's destruction. So Rebbe was once holding, he calls it Sefer Kinos, but it means the Book of Eicha. He's reading the Book of Eicha, must have been on a Tisha B'Av, the Kokari B'Gavei, and he was reading from it. Kimato lahai psukah. When he got to this pasuk, the pasuk says, Hishlich mishomayim eretz. He cast down from heaven to earth the glory of the Jewish people. What happened? That the book, nafal min yadei, fell from his hand. Right? So what did he say? Amar, he commented, Miigraram labira amikta, from such a high roof to such a deep pit. Right? So in other words, since that pasuk talks about this, so it made Rebbe more aware of the vast difference between the Jewish people before and after they fell. Okay, they were in the highest of places, and now it fell to the lowest place. And I guess the Marsha adds, must be when Rebbe dropped it, it didn't just fall. Maybe it fell through a crack and went way down. So see, when one can fall, we don't realize how deep the Jewish people fall. We don't realize how great we are. When we fall, it's a devastatingly far fall. Okay, Rebbe and Rav Chiya Avishak Levazimurcha. Rebbe and Rav Chiya were once going on a journey. Kimata Lahumasa, when they came to a certain town, Amri, they said to the people who live in the town, Ika Tzurba Rabbanan, Hacha, is that if there is a rabbinical scholar here, Nazel, let's go, V'nik Balape, and we will pay our respects to him. You go through the city, you should say Shalom Aleichem to a great rabbi who lives in the city. So they asked, So if there is. So Amri, the inhabitants, told them, yeah, Ika Tzurba Rabbanan, there is a scholar, Hacha, Umu'arinayimu, and he's blind. Mu'arinayim literally means he's full of light, but that's a euphemistic term. We don't like to call a blind person blind, but he's a blind person. He's a blind tzaddik. Okay? Amar le, Rav Chiya le Rebbe. Rav Chiya said to Rebbe, Tivat, you remain here. Lo tezalzal b'nesil asecha. Don't denigrate your position being the Nasi. Remember, Yehuda Nasi was the Nasi. It's not dignified for the Nasi to go visit somebody. Now, the question is, didn't they both initially say they were going to visit a scholar?
That's what they said.
Yeah, so why did Rav Chiya try to dissuade Rebbe from this? So the answer is possibly Rav Chiya thought that as soon as they would tell the townspeople that they were seeking out a scholar, who would immediately notify the scholar who would come first to visit Rebbe. They figured that when they asked them, they said, well, they'll send the scholar to them because Rebbe's here. But now it seemed that they didn't tell anybody to come. So if Rebbe would, if he would first come and then return the visit, that's okay. But once they heard the scholar was blind, they knew he wasn't going to come. So now that's an insult to him. Anyway, Ozil. So Rav Chiya said, also inavakule, I'll go alone and pay respects to him. However, Rebbe takfei vas b'chadei. Rebbe went along with him. He didn't listen to him. He disapproved that argument. Rebbe said, I'm going to go too. Forget about my honor. And they saw him. Kevamivtarine, when they left the blind scholar, Amr lohu, the scholar said to them, Atem hikbaltem panim hanoirim venroim. You were very nice. You paid respect to one who is seen but does not see. Tiskel ha'gavani aroyim venroim. So let you merit to pay your respects to one who sees but is not seen. May you merit the world to come to be with Hashem. Amr lei, Rebbe said to Rav Chiya, Iko hashtam anatam. See, you want to keep me back from such a bracha? You didn't want me to go? Look what kind of bracha I got. It was a good bracha. Okay. Now, having been blessed by this blind scholar, so it was a big mitzvah. So now, they said to the blind scholar, Miman Shimalach, from whom did you hear this teaching that paying respects to a Torah scholar is such a big deed? So he says, Mepirka Rabbi Yaakov Shmila. I heard it from the teachings of Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov ish kafri chita havi makbil ape de rabbe kol yuma. Because Rabbi Yaakov, a resident of a place called Kvar Chitaya, would pay respects to his teacher every day, kikash. And when Rabbi Yaakov got old, amar lei, so his teacher said, lo did starmer, don't bother. Don't bother. You don't have to do it anymore. The lo yachel, for you're unable to do it. Amar lei, he said, mizutar mai dechsiv arbanen. Is it such a small thing what it says regarding the rabbis? What does it say regarding the rabbis? It says the pasuk vayechi od la netzach, and he will live with them eternally. Lo yira hashachas, he will never see the pit of destruction. Ki yira chachamim yamuso, for he sees wise men die. Okay, so Let's see the pasuk here. The simple reading of the pasuk is, can one live forever, never to see the pit? That's the simple pasuk. Can you live forever and not see the pit? No one lives forever. No one's spared from the pit. Just as the wise man will pass away, so too will the wicked. That's the simple meaning of the pasuk. Okay. So, see, the Riftein Yaakov explains that seeing the wise at their death and during their life does not mean merely gazing upon them, but rather deriving lessons from their lives and deaths. Then, as one must strive to hear their words of morality and reproach while they live, thus acquiring the merit for life in the world to come. And when the righteous leave the world, one must realize that even the most deserving die. How much more so the deserving? Accordingly, there's no contradiction in the simple meaning and the way Rabbi Yaakov learned it. So it's a big thing to see a tzaddik. So now, if the pasuk says, when you see a tzaddik, when he dies, you're going to live. So all the more so when they're alive, you should see them when they're alive. Just don't go to their graves. It's even better when they're alive to learn from them. And that's how he learned that Indian to go visit a Rebbe. Okay, let's just try to finish to the bottom, because I told Adam we're going to start at the two dots. So just give me another 3-4 minutes. Rav Idi Avud, Rav Yaakov Bar Idi. Rav Idi, the father of Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, he used to set on a 3-month journey where, and then spend 1 day in the yeshiva. It took him 3 months to go from his house to the yeshiva. So he'd leave immediately after Pesach, stay in the yeshiva for a day, and come back immediately for Sukkot, to be with his wife in Sukkot. That's one shot. Others say he was away on business dealings. Anyway, but if you say he was going to the yeshiva, maybe he went on business and stopped off in yeshiva for 1 day. Look what they called the guy. They called the Rabban and called him, because they'd see him twice a year, right? He says, Bar Beirav Dechad Yoma. He's a rabbinical student of a day. He's student of a day. Cholish Daite. He felt dejected when he heard that. Kari Anavshe, he applied to himself the following verse that says, Schok L'Reyehu, hey, yeah, I will be as one who is mockery for his friend. So he felt really bad. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan tried to pacify Rabbi Idi. He says, "But Mamuta Menach, I beg you, lo ta'anish lo Rabbanan, do not punish the Rabbanan. Remember, if you cause a sage grief, Hashem gets you back." So Rabbi Yochanan is trying to calm him down. So and say, you know, don't punish us. Right? They may have insulted you, but please don't bring punishment to the rabbis. Nafek Rabbi Yochanan Labei Medrash. Rabbi Yochanan now went out to the study hall and he taught the following to try to fix it up. V'osi yom yom yidroshun v'das terachai yechpatzun. The pasuk says, yet they seek me each and every day and desire to know my ways. So it seems that the pasuk is talking about seeking of God takes place only during the day. But that can't be, because we know, so do we only seek out Hashem in the day? We don't seek him out at night. So what does it mean to seek him out daily? But rather to teach you, even 1 day out of the year, it's like he studied the whole year. He tried to make the guy feel better. Why? Because since he did what was in his ability, it's clear if he would have had more time, then he would have learned more. Okay, that's how we learn it. V'kein midas paranus, and so it is the opposite, unfortunately, when it comes to punishment. Tichsiv, as the pasuk says, b'mispra yom asher tartum tzaris. We're talking about the spies, and we have to punish them. Like the number of days that you spied out the land, you'll be punished. But wait a minute. They got punished for 40 years, but they only went away for 40 days. V'chi arboim shana chatu, did they sin for 40 years? V'lo arboim yom chatu, did they sin for 40 days? But they teach you the opposite. Kolo Ivra Averin does a sin, Afil Yamech Veshana, even 1 day out of the year. Ma'alav Akasu Kilu Avar Kol Hashana Kula, the Torah considers it as if you have sinned the entire year. So you see that for punishment, 1 day is like a year. Certainly for a good thing, 1 day is like a year. If a person is not able, since we should say, you know, a rabbi should say this Gemara on the high holidays, when he sees people who come only once a year, He says, for those who are unable to come a whole year, Hashem considers it like you come a whole year. That would be a nice thing to say. I don't know how true it is, because they really could come more, but maybe from their perspective, they feel they can't come more than once a year. It would be an interesting Gemara to quote on that. Exactly 30.